Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning. Welcome into the Blitz live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. 10:06 a.m. Brandon Orrick, Chance Collins with you. Rick Butler running just a tad behind. He'll be here soon. Chance, how are you doing this morning?
Feeling pretty good, man. Allergy's still kicking my butt over the last couple days, but feeling pretty good.
I thought we were going to get some rain yesterday, and I feel like once we get that first good rain,
we need it.
Settle all the pollen down, I feel like things will get better.
Waiting for it. We were supposed to get a lot of rain last night. It's like 70-80% chance over the night, but then throughout the night, then it like just sprinkled.
Yeah.
We didn't get much at all. We didn't get any rain pretty much.
Didn't do a whole lot of anything. But
outside of that, feeling pretty good. I feel like today's a good day after reeling off yesterday's news, and it seems like a lot of good things are happening on the Hill.
Yeah, things seem to be going in Tennessee's favor. You got a big baseball series coming up starting tomorrow. Tennessee-Vanderbilt in a top five matchup, top three matchup, depending on what rankings you look at. Had a big another no hitter last night. That's two no hitters in the first 2 weeks.
Nope.
Of the baseball season.
Very close to being a perfect game.
Oh man, how much does that say? You've got a perfect game in the ninth inning, and then you hit a batter.
That does that. I was watching that live while I was working the other job, because like somebody pointed out to me, say, "Hey, this White Sox pitcher's working on a perfect game." So and I started watching that. Watching that last inning, then he gets the first out, then beans the next guy. And I was like, oh, man, what a way to not get the perfect game. I mean, you still get the no-hitter, which is still a great accomplishment as a Major League Baseball pitcher.
Should you get the no-hitter, though? If you hit the pitcher, I mean, you hit the pitcher.
The pitcher.
Or the batter, excuse me.
Yeah, the batter.
Me. You hit the batter.
Yeah, you still got to get it to him. I mean, I know what you're saying. You hit somebody. Should you get the no-hitter? But no, he's got to get it to it. I know that had to. That's something that's probably going to, even though
you still get the no-hitter as a consolation prize, but you had the perfect game.
I feel like you're going to think about that for the rest of your life, because I'm sure there's, what, only under 50 pitchers who have had a perfect game, maybe under 30?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the number is, but can't be up there too much. Also, Tennessee gets a pair of commits on the basketball side as well as the football side. So Josh Heupel gets his first and second commitments of his tenure. Also, from practice the other day, something we did not get into yesterday, Rodney Garner, defensive line coach, had some comments on the defensive line and how they have taken a step forward. So that's a little good news to hear. And also, the NCAA passed the one-time transfer rule, and it is expected to get the final approval today.
Yeah, that is very cool. And as far as perfect games go, like I said, I thought under 50 or under 30 is under 30. There's only 23 in the history of MLB baseball right
now.
Only
23 perfect games.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I had a crazy dream last night.
A crazy dream?
I had a crazy dream. I had a dream that around midnight last night, I walked down to the living room. And there was a basketball game on TV, and there was about 3.2 seconds left, so I sat my butt down to watch this basketball game, and I had a dream that in these 3.2 seconds, oh my God, we saw one of the best game-winning shots of the year.
Oh,
Did you see that last night, Chance? Oh my God!
I saw it, but I feel like a little bit of luck was involved. He's a great skilled player, but the going up and under and the falling forward, maybe he's practiced a bunch. I feel like it was a little luck involved, though.
Well,
great shot.
Sometimes you gotta have a little luck involved, right?
Yeah.
The greats always do. And when you make a shot like that, yeah, of course, there's gonna be a little bit of luck. But man, I've never seen anything like that.
Kobe had something like that in the playoffs.
That makes sense. If there was anybody else to hit anything like a three-point floater, a toe tap, while you're falling down, I guess it would probably be Kobe. Continue on.
It's the Memphis Grizzlies.
I've heard they're very close to us in the standings, so it's a big deal.
Yeah, at the bottom.
Yeah, at the bottom. Whatever. Sorry. Apparently it wasn't a dream, so I'm very happy this morning. Good morning to everybody. Hello.
And the shot I'm referring to of Kobe, I'm going to tag you guys in it.
Okay.
But it was I meant to bring it up yesterday on the show. It happened exactly yesterday in 2004. So it was 17 years ago to the date on yesterday's show.
Huh. Wow. Yeah.
And this was crazy. This was a guy who was guarding Kobe that was known as the Kobe stopper because he really did defend Kobe pretty well throughout his career, Ruben Patterson of the Portland Trailblazers. A little throwback for all the old school basketball fans.
What is this? What is this that I'm seeing?
What's what?
For the first time. The official Game of Thrones Twitter account tweeted out Winter is Coming 20 hours ago.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah, that was that's in reference to those spinoffs that I was talking about last week, but a lot of people have been eating them up because, like, can you just do redo season 8? We'd rather have that.
Yeah, I quote tweeted that myself, Brandon. I said, I've heard that one before, fam. I've heard it before. Last time you told us winter was coming, it hit a pit stop. It didn't actually come and settle in.
Yeah, they actually
And we wanted it to. We were okay with the night zombies coming and staying and making a bed in the guest room. Instead, they just checked the mailbox and left. That's what had people upset. You can't build a tagline on something that happens for one episode. That's stupid. So don't use that marketing. It's a lie.
No, they were coming the whole time. From the very beginning, they were coming.
I mean, I guess that's all they did. There was no payoff. I mean, there was, but anyways, yeah. So I guess they're referring to the Targaryen spinoff, House of Dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got roasted for it though. They got absolutely obliterated on their social medias for that. Also, in other random news, and people are loving this in the A-Block.
Oh, this is great.
No, we were talking about yesterday about A-Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an exclusive joint statement to today, Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez reveal they have called off their engagement and going their separate ways.
Ah!
And they are
better
as friends.
Wow.
Here comes the downfall of A-Rod.
Better as friends.
Better as friends. Whoa. Here comes the downfall of A-Rod. Finally. Ah! No more Jenny from the block for him. No more Jenny from the block.
Good for her.
Wow.
He's a cheater.
Yeah. More ways than one.
We literally talked about that.
Put him on a pedestal yesterday. I'm so glad we don't have to do that today. I'm so glad we can. Wow.
Yeah, I wish A-Rod would come out and say that he'd never heard of Anthony Edwards.
That would be pretty good. Who is he? Is he on the team that I bought? Oh, he's on that team that I bought. Okay.
I thought my point guard was Ricky Rubio. No.
You mean Kevin Garnett is not still on the Timberwolves? Damn it.
No Kevin Love?
I really thought that's why I bought them.
This isn't the Twins. I thought it was the Twins, damn it.
Also, today is Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes, 42 day.
Oh, really?
Everybody be wearing the 42.
Oh, man, that reminds me, too, of one of the great sports movies ever, but it also has the late, great Chadwick Boseman. He plays Jackie Robinson in 42.
He did.
I got to go back and watch that. I watched this. I must have watched that around this day last year as well.
You know, a full circle. We were talking about the Chattanooga Lookouts last week, where I was. Maybe it was even 2 weeks ago. We're talking about minor league baseball, Chattanooga Lookouts. I like going to that stadium. It's pretty cool. That's where they filmed most of their portions of 42.
Really?
I had an ex-girlfriend that
did really?
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend that did extra work in that movie. She's one of the extras at the baseball game.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's super cool.
Saw the pictures and everything. Yeah, it was really cool. So, yeah, that's where they filmed a lot of the footage, was at the Lookout Stadium.
That's a big bucket list dream of mine. I would love to be an extra in a movie. I don't know how it happens.
Typically, they send out, maybe say if it happened in Knoxville, you might see something on the news, such and such is casting for extras. I believe when the late Burt Reynolds came and did that movie in Knoxville, they put out something like that on the news where they needed a bunch of extras. And that's typically how it goes, casting calls. You know, you get paid. Like, I know some people do extra work now for, like, a lot of the crime shows that they film here in Knoxville.
Uh-huh.
You pay, like, $7,500 a day, sometimes a little bit less, but yeah.
Wow. But your friend, was that somebody who just, like, went to one of the open callings? Because I feel like, you know, you have those, and maybe you get picked, maybe you don't. Like maybe you have like a step above where it's like a preferred,
yeah.
Like a preferred walk-on almost.
No, well, sometimes.
Like that's what I want to be.
There's a group here in Knoxville called the Casting Hive, Hive Casting, and they do all those investigative crime shows because they film a lot of those in Knoxville because you have HGTV that owns Oxygen and Snapped and all that stuff.
I could be a dead guy on TV.
So a lot of times they send out. You could be a dead guy on TV. Yeah, you could.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of times they will send out casting calls, and it'll say, we're looking for, you know, white male, age 27, this look, beard, you know, things like that. Or sometimes it's just, we're looking for such an X amount of people to be extras.
Yeah, that I could totally play a dead guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
You can hold your breath?
No, I have asthma. So I've never been able to hold my breath. But I'll try. I'll try hard. If there's anybody out there who would like to put any of the three of us, really, I'll put all of us out there. If anybody wants to put us in a movie or a TV show, hey, we'll do it.
I'm down.
Sounds pretty cool. A bucket list dream.
Also,
yeah.
Last night,
mm-hmm.
around 10:45 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
a 2.2 magnitude earthquake hit Maryville.
Oh my God, did it really?
Yeah.
Maryville.
2.2.
2.2 out of what?
I believe they go to 10.
Oh.
So it wasn't a very big one.
No, but it's a rumbler. Not a royal rumbler.
I don't know. I wonder if anybody felt it. If you felt the earthquake, call in and let us know.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Have you ever felt one? Like, have you ever been in a situation where you're like, there's definitely an earthquake happening?
So I think there was one time I was at my parents' house, and there was a small one. It wasn't big and didn't last very long at all. But the house shook for like maybe 10 seconds, and then it wasn't even like it wasn't violent or anything, but you could definitely tell that it was shaking a little bit. But have you?
What about tornado?
No.
Chance? I know you have done, and I'll get my answer.
Tornado, because it happened in Clarksville.
Uh-huh. I bet you've had both.
Well, the earthquake, like something like Brandon said, that happened here in Knoxville, though, when I felt that. It was, I don't know if it was like a year. It wasn't last year because I remember that during the pandemic. I think it was 2-3 years ago. There's one that everybody kind of felt. I remember feeling it at my house.
Yeah, and it looks like in 20, wait, maybe last year.
Was it just last year?
4 months ago. It looks like here in December 16th of 2020, USGS confirms a 2.3 magnitude earthquake in Knoxville on a Tuesday night.
That might have been the one. I thought it was a couple years ago, though, yeah.
Which you're saying the one in Merrillville was a 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
So like it so just this, like, feels like something a little bit off. You know, like it didn't feel like obviously an earthquake probably like they have in, you know, out west in California, but it's like a little shake, like what was that? And then like
did you say a little shake weight?
Well, like no shake weight. Nah, a little like shake, like it felt like the room vibrated and that was pretty much it.
I have a picture of the shake weight in my the shake weight in my head, like a little rumble. I have never I was obviously here for this 2.3 in Knoxville and there were any other in the last couple of years, but I don't have any vivid memories of like a moment where I was like, oh my God, this is definitely happening right now. A tornado, I've taken shelter from a tornado back in Texas many a time. So, you know, we'd get in the closet or the bathroom or something like that.
All right, so here's how it goes.
Yeah.
The Richter scale.
Yeah.
This is what this is what they use to measure earthquakes.
Yeah.
A 0 to a 1.9 can only be detected by seismograph. Okay. 2 to 2.9, hanging objects may swing. 3 to 3.9, comparable to vibrations of a passing truck. 4 to 4.9 may break windows or cause small or unstable objects to fall. 5 to 5.9, furniture moves, chunks of plaster may fall from walls. 6 to 6.9, damage to well-built structures, severe damage to poorly built ones. 7 to 7.9, buildings displaced from foundations, cracks in the earth, underground pipes broken. 8 to 8.9, bridges destroyed, few structures left standing. 9 and over, near total destruction, waves moving through the earth visible with the naked eye.
Wow. Let's see. I'm trying to see. The highest most recent earthquake in Tennessee was a 2.7. It looks like maybe in February of last year.
Yeah, not a lot of earthquakes around here.
Nah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, that is good.
Seems like a terrifying situation to find yourself
wasn't
in.
Wasn't the last really
especially in a
big
really
one in Tennessee was the Real Foot Lake one? Am I just making that? I think so.
Probably.
Isn't that how like it was made? And it like even made portions of the Mississippi like flow backwards for the time? I'm going to look that up. I hope I'm not making it up. I think that's how it was
flow
made.
Flow backwards?
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, man. There was a 4.4 earthquake in East Tennessee sometime recently. But either way. All right, gentlemen, we did not come here to talk about earthquakes. We came here to talk about a little bit of sports here on a beautiful Thursday morning right here in Knoxville. We are way over time here in this first segment. That's all right. We'll get into the good stuff coming up next. You already heard the whole rundown from Brandon today. He hit the nail on the head. We'll get into all of it and more coming up next right here on The Blitz. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 10:26 a.m. You got Rick, Chance, and Brandon hanging out with you as we are making our way through the first hour of the show today. Gentlemen, we got a ton on the menu, a ton to talk about, and really on the Tennessee side of things, we got a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, and a little bit of baseball. But in terms of the basketball side of things, I want to start the first conversation with something that extends out a little bit broader, but of course we will rein it back in here coming up in the next segment to talk about how Tennessee is affected by it. But the big news coming out of the NCAA yesterday was that the transfer rule has been passed. And this is something that has been expected for a while, but the Division I Council has approved a one-time transfer rule for all college athletes to be able to transfer freely from one school to another. Again, one time, without any immediate consequences in the eligibility sector, right? So normally, where you would have a situation under the, I guess under the previous rules, you can now say, hold on. There it is. In the college athletes are deemed ineligible for their first year after transferring unless they're given a waiver. However, in this now, this previously proposed but now enacted change, athletes will be allowed to freely move schools one time with no period of ineligibility. Although there are going to be some limitations, but essentially you get the gist of it. And that is mainly going to be true for basketball and football players. So this is sure to have massive effects on the entire college athletics world, especially in basketball, like what we've seen with these record-breaking numbers. But yeah, football is going to catch back up as well. I do believe that this is not over in that side of things as well. But again, this was something that we all expected. This was something that we believed was going to happen. NCAA President Mark Emmert has been very vocal about his belief that this is going to happen. And again, we'll talk about what this means for Tennessee coming up soon. But Brenda, what's your initial thoughts on just kind of how this first thing has, or how this thing has played out here first and foremost?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like we kind of lose sight of the fact that, you know, for most sports at colleges and universities, players can transfer and they don't have to sit out. Mm-hmm. They could before this rule. It was just football, basketball, baseball, and then I think hockey, so men and women's basketball. All the other sports you could already transfer.
Yeah.
Now, granted, those are probably your five most popular sports, but I mean, I think it's – I'll say a little overdue. I think it's good for the athletes, good for the student-athletes, and kind of putting them first if a situation – comes up and they need to leave the school for whatever reason.
Sure.
They're not punished by having to sit out and have to go through the lengthy process of getting a waiver from the NCAA in order to play immediately. Now, are there some situations where this rule can be harmful to players, or maybe not harmful, but maybe that it's that the rule gets kind of used for not what it's meant to be used for, and you've just got kind of where it becomes kind of a free agency,
yeah,
for college players. I think that's a possibility, but I think for the most part, I like the rule, and I think it'll be good for college sports.
Well, let me ask you this too as well. You know, we know that this is going to be a one-time transfer rule. I think one of the crazy things that you're seeing right now is because of so many kids' chaotic seasons last year, a lot of them are using this benefit right now. But maybe you have a situation where in a couple years from now, you have players who, when they're using this one-time transfer rule, it's more sporadic, right? It's at different points of different years and different tenures. Maybe they don't add up like this, but, you know, I see this in both ways. I think that, yeah, we talked about it actually in a quote from Jay Wright, I believe, at the beginning of the month. He was saying, hey, do I believe this is best for college basketball? No. But do I believe that this is best for the players? Yeah. And ultimately, that's what we're here for. And while I agree with that, do you think that maybe, I don't know, my speculation is that maybe for players in the future, this is not helping out the players. I think you're going to see a lot of, whether it's intended or unintended consequences that come out from this one deal, coaches are going to, you know, strongly start altering their recruiting strategies. And maybe that gets even back up here in a couple of years, but, you know, I think about the high school kids, right, that could potentially not be recruited because so many coaches are using all their resources in the transfer portal, right? Because maybe you put a little bit more value in a kid who has a little bit more experience.
Well, I mean, you still have, I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, you still have to replenish your roster with kids coming out of high school. So, I mean, I don't know if that's going to be as much of a concern.
Okay, what about this one? What if, and granted, I don't know how much we can say can, you know, this can really be an impact on, or how much of a weight I think can really be felt from this, but I just wonder about the kind of environment that it creates in college basketball, right? From one not really one school to another, because while those are working relationships, they're not always called upon that often. But is it going to create this sense of culture of a poaching culture in college basketball, right?
Well, like I said, I think it kind of mimics free agency a little bit in professional sports. And I mean, I don't know.
It's weird.
But, I mean, the game changes. You have to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You've already seen a bunch of coaches kind of, Chris Beard at Texas Tech was one, Musselman at Nevada, and now at Arkansas is another that's kind of been building their roster based on transfers. So I kind of expect to continue to see those programs and those coaches and kind of more follow suit and as far as doing that. But I mean, I think it's good for the players.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, that's what's most important. And for whatever the reason is, whether they get buried on the roster and they're not getting enough playing time, and instead of having to sit out a year, you can go transfer them somewhere else where you can play immediately and not have to sit out. Or if your coach gets fired and you don't, the coach that recruited you gets fired and they bring in somebody else that, I don't know, maybe you don't see eye to eye with, or there's a completely different coaching philosophy. Oh, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm going somewhere else.
It's perfect. They've never held coaches accountable for just leaving a program for a better job or for say if a coach gets fired, a new coach comes in, you don't have a rapport relationship with that person.
Yeah, going in conference when that's going to be the next thing we talk about in the next segment. How, you know, in the SEC you can't do that. Yet, like you're saying, you're perfectly alluding to Chris Beard can jump from Texas Tech to Texas.
I mean, no all penalty. Coaches have done it. Manny Diaz went to Temple for like 3 days and then got the Miami job. I mean, like, it's just not fair for the players to not have that same freedom that the coaches do who make all the millions. I mean, it's simply not fair. And, like, people who've had a problem with it, I really don't get it, because why are we, like, holding these players hostage? Like, I mean, seriously, like, they should have some freedoms too, just like the coaches do, and get that ability. Now, if you're trying to transfer 3 or 4 times, yeah, it's getting a little bit, you know, excessive. But the one time, it definitely should be that way. Sometimes you just go somewhere, something happens to where it doesn't work out. It's a different coaching play style than you want it. And then also, sometimes things happen like family issues. We've had where players can't transfer back home when their parents are dying.
Yeah. So you might be thinking to yourself, all right, so we're good to go then, right? The NCAA passes the rule. We're good to go. SEC, Justin Powell, Panther, hello. Brandon, get out the Ticonderoga. Not so fast.
Apex Pest.
All right, Brandon, did you get the pencil?
Hey,
come on. You had 4 minutes to get the pencil.
I didn't know you really wanted it.
I really wanted the pencil. The Ticonderoga. All right, get ready for it. You may be thinking to yourself, all right, so the NCAA has passed their rule. All of these athletes, football, basketball, baseball, whatever, they are all getting their one free eligibility transfer. They're all going to get it. It's all on the table. Look at the guys that Tennessee is after right now. Justin Powell, Panther, he's at school. Is he going to be eligible in this? He must be, right? Not so fast. See, it's a little bit more complicated when it comes to the conferences. Now, the first and biggest step really was the NCAA going ahead and saying yes on their end. Now it can be truly left up to the conferences, but that doesn't mean that things are still the same on each and every level. And I'll go back to this, and this will probably bring up your past frustrations going back to when the football season was trying to get started. Right, how many times do we get frustrated with these conferences just not having the same policies and not having the same guidelines? We know that they always can't because of geography purposes or something like that. But on basic things, when they can't always agree, it's confusing. When players in Tennessee are subject to different rules than players in North Carolina, even though the NCAA will say one thing, you know, and have them agree. So here's how things stand right now. According to the different conferences with the one-time transfer and how this plays into Tennessee. You see, right now, as we said, The decision is left up to the conferences themselves. The ACC lifted their restrictions for transfer players in totality within the conference earlier this year, back in about January or February. And the Pac-12 did so back in 2019. You know, so those are two conferences right there that, hey, if you got a guy going from North Carolina to Duke, if you got a guy going from Oregon to USC, those are fine. They've already said that. However, the SEC, it actually could be a little bit different. We still don't entirely know. Earlier on March 11th, Greg Sankey spoke to the Courier-Journal, and he gave some of his thoughts on this rule in the upcoming season. Now, again, when he talked about this, this was just a proposed and anticipated rule, not approved. He said this, quote, "I don't in the offseason anticipate entertaining waivers. In fact, we've communicated the interconference rule still stands. Our membership has voted on that rule. It's been in place for decades. It was waived in that one time," talking about the football season with a couple of those transfers, including Cade Mays. "It was waived in that one time because of unique circumstances. And our member institutions, if they want to change the rule, well, they'll need to submit their vision for the future and how we manage transfer issues within the conference." That being said, this is me now, Greg Sankey did continue on to say that ultimately there will have to be some kind of conversation depending on what happens at the national level, which could cause the SEC to change its course a little bit. Now we know that that has happened, that that is confirmed. So now we have to believe that, hey, the SEC will be having conversations about this. But do keep it. I do think that it's going to be fine for the SEC. I think that this eventually gets straightened out. I think that intra-conference transfers do happen. That's my own speculation. But don't be surprised that, much like a lot of other things that happen in the SEC, I do think it's not going to come without a little bit of pushback or maybe a little bit of struggle within the offices. Now, granted, they might see this rule and they might say, okay. But again, we have recent quotes, and I'm talking within months, of him saying, yeah, I don't know. We've never really felt that way.
Get with the times.
Yeah.
Get with the times, SEC. Don't hold this back.
They want to be different.
As Bob Dylan said, the times, they are a-changing.
Always want to be different from the rest, though.
I know. But it's so dumb, right? If the NCAA is now saying, and I'm playing hypothetical, I guess, that the SEC is going to play a little bit of trouble in this situation. But if you're looking at what the NCAA is saying, hey, yes, we're good. Our athletes, which is everybody, because they're all under the NCAA umbrella. But yet a player from Alabama is having to go through more trouble to get to Tennessee than a player from North Carolina might be to get to, South Carolina. That's the frustrating part, I think, when it still comes to college athletics. And I get it because, hey, ultimately these conferences are different. They're meant to be that way on purpose. But it's also just frustrating when, you know, Tennessee is going to be fighting for one of their transfer players a little bit more than two out of the other conferences are going to have to be.
The SEC doesn't like to be told what to do.
No, they don't.
Greg Sankey, he ain't got no boss but Greg Sankey.
According to the report in the Courier-Journal, again, from back in March, Greg Sankey said that the SEC schools could still vote to change the intra-conference transfer rule as part of its normal legislative process later in the spring, and that the move would be more likely if the NCAA has approved its free transfer rule, which, again, it did. So you got to – I choose to be a little bit optimistic in this situation, but, again, keeping my cup on, we should say, and Tennessee needs this to happen. We're going to tell you about some of the other players, and certainly the one that Tennessee landed yesterday in Jonas Adu. Or is it Adu? I've seen a little bit of both.
You've seen both?
Pronunciations? I guess I should say I've heard.
I don't know. I have no idea how to pronounce his name.
I would think Adu, because if it was A-I-D-E-N, it'd be Aiden. So. Yeah. Adu.
Yeah.
That's what I would go with.
We'll go with Adu until we're corrected otherwise, well, until we see otherwise. But
until
again,
we hear what he says.
That was the recruit that Tennessee landed yesterday. We'll give you a little bit more about him, but I got to tell you, Justin Powell, I really hope, is a guy that Tennessee is able to have no troubles getting him to this team, because he's going to be a big player. I do think that he's going to be a key piece for Tennessee's team next year, and he fits in nicely to the pieces that you have around him. right? You're not going to have to really have him play out of position. Like, he's a 6'6" guy, but he can certainly play on the outside of the court, on the perimeter, right? So it's good that you're not necessarily, like, I think with maybe Fulkerson and Pons a little bit to an extent, not as much as Powell, but I think we would have liked to have seen them freely move around the court a little bit more than they could, because so often they were delegated to being rim protectors, right? So I like that Justin Powell, especially with some of these recruits that we're getting, is going to be able to freely move, hopefully a little bit more than you would expect. So either way, that's just a little bit on everything going on right now, but that's pretty much your full story on the NCAA transfer policy, on how it affects Tennessee, on the direct player that it will be affecting, and a little bit of speculation on what we think is going to happen. Take that and run with it. We'll be right back after the break. Hey, we still got tons to get into. A little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of everything right here on the Blitz.
We've all had that dream. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. And on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than just one shot to swing for the fences, because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet does not win. And it only gets better from there. Once you have an account, you'll have access to same-game parlay insurance all season long. That's up to $25 back in site credit each day if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is easy and simple to use. They've got odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every single game day. And when you win on FanDuel, they're going to pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Looking at today's slate, you've got the Mets and the Phillies, Braves, Marlins. Again, my philosophy, which hasn't really panned out the past couple days, Pirates and Padres, Red Sox, Twins. I think I put a little bit of money on I put a little three-team parlay together last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll let you know who I got. Let's see. I got the Mets to beat the Phillies.
Philadelphia.
White Sox to beat the Indians.
Okay.
And Padres to beat the Pirates.
Pretty good.
Is there any such thing as like a post no no slump or a post no no hangover?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I've not done the research.
Chance, you said there's been what, like 23, 26?
23 perfect,
perfect games.
Perfect games. Oh, perfect games.
Yeah, perfect games.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah,
the White Sox have had 20 no hitters just in their franchise alone.
Are you kidding me?
Mark Burley had a perfect game and a couple no-hitters, I feel like, with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
The White Sox have had 20 no-hitters while the Padres just got their first last week.
Interesting. If we went back and looked, would you guess that there's any correlation?
How many no-hitters do you think there have been?
No-hitters? Probably like
69.
I'm going to say 120.
You both are wrong. 307 no-hitters.
What?
Yeah, 307 no-hitters and, like I said, 23 perfect games.
Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good.
But you can get in on the action. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code BLITZ. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 and older, present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
So, what stadium are you in?
Huh?
You said we've all had that dream. Bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded. What stadium are you in when you've had that dream? I'd imagine maybe a Shea Stadium.
Well, Shay is no longer there.
Well, you can dream.
That's what, Citibank Field? Or it was?
Just City Field now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like Dodger Stadium is pretty cool, but Wrigley, I mean, one of the historic ones.
Yeah,
like Wrigley or Fenway.
Here's the way that I approached this question when you had said it, because right when you had said that line, it sparked this in my head. If it's a football stadium, basketball arena, something like that, I don't really think I have a preference. You know, if I want to have a big moment, maybe just at home with my team in front of my home fans. But if it's baseball, then there's a lot of different choices for, like, iconic moments in parks. I would want to have an iconic bottom of the ninth moment in Yankee Stadium, at Wrigley Field, some of the classic ones.
The Yankee Stadium would be up there.
My ultimate answer
is Yankee
Stadium.
Do you guys know the pitcher who holds the most no-hitters?
Nolan Ryan.
Good job. How many? You should know as a Rangers fan. I know all of them.
I should know because he cursed us to hell. Let's go 12.
He threw 7 in his career, which is still jaw-dropping that he threw 7, and a lot of those even came after 40 years old.
Guys, the Mets have 1 no-hitter.
Got some good breaking news right now.
Oh.
Lay it on us.
Before we go out in this
No idea what this is going to be.
Play the short one. According to Sham Sharania of
Shams.
I think he's with Stadium, but, you know, NBA insider. New Brooklyn Net.
Oh.
LaMarcus Aldridge is announcing his retirement from the NBA.
What?
I told you. I told you when we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. I said he's washed.
Yeah, he's washed.
And look, he's hanging it up.
Oh, hanging it up. Okay, Brandon, so I remember you saying that vividly that I went and texted two of my diehard Spurs
fans. Before
you
say he's washed, I want to take it back. He's announcing his retirement to focus on his family and his health because he's been playing with an irregular heartbeat.
Well, best wishes to him. Like that. Oh my God. Like that's got to be scary.
I have one.
But you also just feel like he's kind of, you know, at the end of his run a little bit.
That's
like
not
he,
that
he
big
had
deal.
His
no,
better
I have,
days.
I have an irregular heartbeat.
Do you? Oh no.
Yeah. People.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
I mean, I've been living with it for 26 years. I think.
Oh my God! Do we need to get you to a doctor?
I think I'm fine.
Oh my God.